Again, we are in Galatians chapter 2, and as we look at the verse number 19 through verse 21, what Paul is doing, Paul describes his permanent change relationship to the law. Notice what he says there in verse number 19. He says, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Now notice when you go back to verse number 19, Paul says, "For I through the law am dead to the law." See, it wasn't the law that was dead. The law reflects in its context the holy heart and the character of God. There was nothing wrong with the law, so it wasn't the law that died. But notice, but Paul died to the law. Well, how did Paul die to the law? The law itself killed Paul. It showed him that he could never live up to the law and fulfill his holy standard. So when Paul died to the law, then he could live to God. That's why he said in verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." I died to the law when Jesus died on the cross. It is no longer I. So since we died with Christ on the cross, we have a different life. Our old life under the law is dead. Now we are alive to Jesus Christ, and Jesus is alive in us. That's why Paul says, "But Christ lives in me." Paul realized that on the cross, a great exchange occurred. And so he goes on and says, now watch this, he goes on and says, "Not only but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Notice, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. When Paul said in the flesh, he didn't mean that he lived a sinful life. By the term flesh, it means the whole nature of man. So the focus, and what I want you to really focus on, the focus of this verse isn't the flesh, it is the faith. It is faith. Faith connects you so intimately with Christ that he and you become as it were one person. In the Son of God, who loved me. So the faith Paul lived was not faith in himself, faith in the law, faith in what he could earn or deserve before God. It was faith in the Son of God. Why? Because he says, "Who loved me and gave himself for me." And then he says, he goes on in verse 21, he says, "I do not frustrate or nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So what Paul shows why the issue of law righteousness is so important. Paul concluded his public confrontation with Peter with strength. Because why? These Jewish Christians from Jerusalem to require for themselves or anyone else to live under the law of Moses to be right with God was to set aside the grace of God, the very thing Paul does not do. Because he says now, watch this, he says, again, I do not frustrate or nullify the grace of God. Now, to frustrate or nullify grace would be to put one's trust not in salvation as God's free gift, but in one's own effort. If righteousness comes through the law, if this proposition is true, then Jesus died in vain, because you can be righteous before God by keeping the law, and you don't need the work of Jesus to make you righteous. Now, that's false. And so we need Jesus. Now, look in Jesus' prayer. Think about Jesus' prayer in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, and let's look at verse number 39 through 42. In Matthew chapter 26, he says, and verse number 39, he starts out by saying, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And in verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples, findeth them asleep, saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then notice again, he went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. We know that it was God's will that Jesus Christ die on Calvary's cross. And so as we go back to Galatians chapter 2, and part, he says, I do not have the grace of righteousness. Oh, if you can do it and you don't need Jesus, then Christ died in vain. And so we need Jesus. And so as we begin to conclude chapter 2 of Galatians, we've entered then in Galatians chapter 3. Now, I want you to understand, you remember we talked about how Galatians is divided into three parts. We just got through chapter 1, and chapter 2 was the personal section. And so now we're entering into chapter 3, and chapter 3 begins the doctrinal section of the book. So what Paul does is that Paul returns again and again to one central question. And here it is. Are we saved by what we do, or by what Christ has done for us? I want you to keep that in mind as we work through Galatians chapter 3. And that is, are we saved by what we do, or by what Christ has done for us. Every verse, every argument ultimately makes its way back to that core question. Are we saved by what we do or by what Christ has done for us? It's faith versus works and grace versus the law of Moses. The very heart of the gospel is at stake. And so as we look at this, what I want you to see is that in the first 14 verses of Galatians chapter 3, Paul puts forward three arguments that leads us back to the key question. How are we saved? By grace through faith or by works? And so Paul's answer is that human experience, the example of Abraham, number two, and the curse of the law, all leads us to the same conclusion that we are saved only by grace that comes to us through faith in Jesus. So let's begin now to just see how Paul develops these thoughts. Now, in verse number 1 through verse number 5, the first argument we see is that we see the argument from experience. Look at verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Verse 2, this only would learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit, working miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, by calling them foolish, now he starts out by saying, oh, foolish. By calling them foolish, Paul did not mean they were morally or mentally deficient. What Paul had in mind, Paul had the idea of someone who can think but fail to use their power of perception. In other words, the principles Paul referred to are the things the Galatians knew, things that they had been taught. The knowledge and understanding were there, but they were not using them. So Paul goes on and said, listen, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Paul wanted to know who bewitched them. Now, when you look at this word bewitched, the word bewitched, this is a Greek word that comes from the realm of black magic, and it refers to a spell or hex or an evil eye. So Paul didn't mean this literally, but their thinking was so clouded and so unbiblical that it seemed that kind of spell had been cast over them. And so in Paul's mind, it was so conceivable that the Galatians would turn back to law keeping after coming to Christ by faith, that he thinks that they have been bewitched. Now, when you look at it today, and when you see people who have come to Jesus Christ, who have obeyed him, man, is you know, you think, now they know what's right. They have obeyed what's right, but now they are turning back. They want to go back to the world, go back to what God has already brought them from. And so Paul encourages the Galatians, listen, keep your eyes always and steadfastly upon Jesus. And that's what we got to do today, is we got to continue to keep our eyes always and steadfastly upon Jesus. And then what Paul begins to do then is Paul then discussed four consequences of this great grave error. First of all, it's in verse 1. By leaving grace to return to the law, the Galatians were ignoring the cross of Christ. By leaving grace to return to the law, the Galatians were ignoring the cross of Christ. The idea behind, because he says now, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth or were publicly betrayed, crucified among you. The idea behind this evidently or portrayed, the idea is something like a billboard to public display. When you see a billboard, it's there for, you know, it's displaying something. It's displaying a message. Because what happened is, they had forgotten how clearly Christ had been portrayed or visualized by Paul's preaching. So powerful was Paul's preaching of the cross that the Galatians had felt that felt they had been there when he died. And so what Paul wondered is, listen, how the Galatians could have missed the message, because he certainly made it clear enough to them. And so when he talks about the eyes, whose eyes, the eyes that Paul talks about, Paul didn't mean that they literally saw the crucifixion of Jesus, or even that they had a spiritual vision of it. What he meant is, he meant that the truth of Jesus and him crucified and the greatness of his work for them was clearly laid out for them that they could see it. And so to leave grace was to abandon the Christ who died for them. But then the second consequence of this error, the first one was, again, by leaving grace to return to the law, that the Galatians was ignoring the cross of Christ. Secondly, by leaving grace, they were contradicting their own experience. Look at verse number 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Paul asked simply, listen, just tell me this. And Paul reminded them that they had been saved by grace through faith. You and I need to understand the Holy Spirit is not a prize earned through the works of the law. So here is the question. Would they now conclude that God saves by faith, but now they must somehow continue it by their good works? That very thought was absurd. And so he says, listen, in verse 3, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? The Galatians were deceived into thinking that spiritual growth or maturity could be achieved through the works of the flesh, instead of continued simple faith and abiding in Jesus. And this was indeed foolishness. This deception was cultivated by Satan to set our Christian life off track. Listen, if Satan cannot stop us from being saved by faith, then he will attempt to hinder our blessings and growth and the maturity of our faith. Satan will do anything to turn us away from God. And so we see the consequences there in verse number 2. By leaving grace, they were contradicting their own experience. And then number 3, the third thing, by leaving grace, they rendered their suffering meaningless. Look at verse 4. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? No doubt these believers had suffered much at the hands of their former friends in the pagan religion. And have you had such wonderful spiritual experience all to no purpose? Paul said, listen, have you suffered all of these things, but you suffered them in and still they count that as by going back to the law as a means of salvation? So Paul said, listen, by leaving grace, you rendered your suffering meaningless. And then finally, by leaving grace, they were denying the work of the Spirit in their midst. In verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit worketh miracles among you. Doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now watch this. God had worked miracles among them and in them personally. They had seen the power of God both externally and internally. Prayers had been answered. Lives had been changed. Old habits broken. the lost saved, and sins forgiven. And all this by the grace of God, at the work through the Spirit of God, who came to them as a result of their faith in Christ. Here is the question. Would they give this up and deny it all? That's the choice that they were making. And so, even today, we're making choices. We've seen what God has done for us personally. We've seen the power of God working in our lives. We've seen prayers been answered and lives been changed and old habits broken and the lost saved and sins forgiven. We've seen the results of this. And here's the question. Would we give it up and deny it all? Some are. Some have. But I hope that we stick with God. And so Paul is, he's asking them a question. Listen, you know what God has done. Why do you want to give it up and deny it all? And so here's Paul's point. Here's Paul's point. And then we're going to stop here on verse 5. Paul's point in verse 1 through verse 5 was this. It was to remind them of all the wonderful things God had done for them in their in their conversion and in the days since then. And all of this had come by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Not by following the law. Had they forgotten all of this? They were saved by faith in Christ. And they now lived by the power of the Spirit. So here's the question. How could going back to the law possibly improve their experience or their position? They needed to continue to realize what God had done for them and to realize all of this had come by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we've seen the first argument, the argument from experience. Lord willing, next week we'll begin to see the argument from Abraham. He uses in verse 6 to verse number 9, and we will pick that up, Lord willing, on next week. And then we'll see the third argument, which is the argument from the curse in verse 10 through verse 14. So read verse 6 through verse 14 again, and we're going to be looking at that to continue to see these arguments. So at this time, I will unmute everyone. If you have any announcement, any prayer requests, you can make it known at that particular time.